idea was born of personal hardship, triumph, and the desire to succeed. IDARE is an acronym for integrity of diversity, adaptation, resilience, and empowerment. It is the hallmark of my life, derived from learning to evolve through difficult circumstances and experiences that result from challenges. And these challenges without obstacles, we never would know the true meaning of success or feel the exaltation or triumph over adversity. My personal mission, therefore, is to help you encounter your purpose and live your best life, your inherent potential, and finding joy in the journey. I did, and so can you. It is about personal empowerment and unlocking your inner potential. Most of all, it's about living a lifestyle of adventures in the outdoors. I dare, therefore, is a way of life. So please join me to discover your inner potential by sharing some of your own challenges. So thank you for watching, and thank you for listening. Let's make it a great, great and joyful week this week. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us at Nikki Dare Radio, heard worldwide by millions of listeners, with your lovely host, Ms. Nikki Dare. Our podcast, hosted by Nikki Dare, is your home for education to safety and survival, leadership and inspiration. Nikki Dare is the founder of iDare Inc., a registered 501c3, with its mission to educate and mobilize resources for preparedness and sustainability. iDare is a grassroots credo and personal mission based on its pillars of excellence: integrity, diversity, adaptation, resilience, and empowerment. Ms. Dare's personal mission is to help you encounter your purpose by unlocking your inherent potential and finding joy in the journey. Women's advocate, transformational mentor, and a seasoned BPR change management consultant since her early 20s in transforming companies. And decades later, she is reinventing her purpose. And now, here's your lovely host, Ms. Nikki Dare.
Hey, thank you for joining me again. Choosing to be here with me, Nikki Dare, at least for the next few minutes here, and I really appreciate it. I know that you guys probably have a lot of better things to do just listening to me, right? Hear me? Bobby, this is great.
It's good?
It's good. It's good to go, but can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. There's only one of you now. There were several of you.
There were several of me?
Yeah, now there's only one. Sounds good.
I think what I did was I got in. I have Susan's also my assistant, and I by default, I guess, hers coming on too every time when I got on. But why am I frozen?
You're frozen? Uh-oh. I'm frozen?
That's okay, because I can see me here, right? I'm good. Yeah. As long as I see you and I see me, I'm okay. Good.
All right. So we're good? You can hear me and see me and everything?
Oh, I can hear you just fine. I hope that I can. You can see me, right? I mean, I'm being,
yeah.
I'm like human, living, alive. I'm not like frozen.
You look like, you could be an avatar. I don't really know, but you look human to me. So.
Well, cheers. I'm having, it's after, what time is it? It's after 6 o'clock.
All right. 6:01. Jeez, you're like waiting for six so you can just get hammered, eh? Jeez.
Cheers. No, I usually don't get hammered. I just, well, I was doing this, but I think, oh, it's still some. Okay. But yeah, I am so grateful to have you here, Bobby. But just so you know, I mean, I'm doing a podcast. I've been doing a podcast for several years, but it's just, I've been having a lot of stuff, a lot of personal things, and you know, we're all in this together, right? I stopped doing podcasts. So I'd like to do a relaunch of podcast, which is, I want to relaunch it sometimes in September, mid-September, basically. And then so I have dual screen monitor. So I see you here, I see you here.
Wow.
Yeah. The more the better, right?
Trippy.
You look good, by the way. You look good.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I like that hairdo. Look at that. I like that hairdo.
Yeah, it's called, I didn't know what to do, so I just went,
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're here, but guess to invite to speak and everything. So I'm so grateful. It was just like on the fly. I saw your room and I said, I'm going to ask
you.
Yeah. So how are you doing, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, man, today was, it's just, you know, the pandemic and just personal stuff and just people have been dying. And it's just, I think today it just hit, like nothing really happened. It's just kind of like, you know, like, boom, hit the wall. And it was like 2 hours of crying on Clubhouse. I was like, really? That's what this is today? Okay, I do feel better now.
Good for you. Well, I am cheering for you and your success.
Thank you.
And I usually do a podcast in the morning and sometimes in the evening when I do. Okay, guys, don't mind me. So I'm so glad that you're feeling much better today. And yeah. You know, as I can see and I can hear from the Clubhouse, congratulations, buddy. Congratulations on your 20,000 followers.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think that you have a very strong tribe who support you. Each one of them support you that I can hear from their voices today. I was in the room and I was actually multitasking, so I had to try to speak out of my head.
Yeah, but, yeah, it was sweet. I mean, honestly, I just love my community, you know, like they really have my back. And then everybody was calling me and texting me after. And I don't know, it's nice. You know, it's like Clubhouse. Sometimes people think, look, there's a lot of people who use Clubhouse to just sell things. And that's fine. I get it. Like, you know, people are doing business, but you can really connect to people, you know, and build deep relationships. And for me, like, that's the most important thing. I've met some really amazing people around the world, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, let's talk about that some more, because I've got some really compelling questions for you.
Do you?
Oh, yes.
Here we go. Here we go.
We're going to go diving into it, and I'm going to introduce you shortly, really briefly, but I'm just going to go ahead and do my own, my thing, my introduction early here, okay. And I'll go ahead and dive in with the questions for you, with your questions. Oh, boy. And hopefully that we can have fun while doing this. All right, guys. Apa kabar? Selamat pagi. Buenos dias. Bonjour. Good morning, guys. And this is a very good morning because I am blessed to have you and my special exclusive podcast guest here with me. Good to have you all back here on Dare Radio with Nikki Dare. I'm super excited, as you can feel and hear it from my voice this morning, with our guest who has a background and hands-on experiences in overcoming these challenges in his personal journey. From all of my podcast guests, guys, there were actors, screenwriters, and stuntmen, military, like, you know, technical guys working in big screen movies. But this morning, I am so exceptionally grateful to be armed with this young man who has such incredible, empowering story. He's going through that. And a huge name in Hollywood. Here's my exclusive guest this morning, Bobby Del Rio. I wish you guys can see him, handsome as ever. And Bobby with the haircut. I love your haircut, by the way, hairdo today.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just spit in my hand and I rub it in my hair, and I don't know, it's what it is.
It looks great. It looks great. Bobby Del Rio has 20 plus year career in the entertainment industry, and he is an actor, writer, filmmaker, and producer. Bobby, good to see you finally here and get up so close with me. I met you through the Clubhouse.
Yeah.
How are you, my dear?
All right. I mean, I think you were in my room. I had a really tough emotional kind of day. But, you know, Clubhouse is interesting because it's all in real time. And I'm a very, like, open, vulnerable person. So me crying on Clubhouse is not really new, to be honest. But this is like, you know, it's like you have bad days, and I had a bad day. I didn't even really have a bad day. Like, I just, you know, I had this great workout, and then I just hit the wall, and I just, you know, and it just, I was running my room, and then because I'm very authentic, like, I was just so sad, and I just started crying, and then that's the room now, right? And then,
really?
Oh, but
many of us relate to that and resonate with you being vulnerable and being authentic. And that's what we love about you, Bobby. That's what we love about you. I want to hear your story, your personal story, which I can imagine has so much turns, peaks and valleys, which you know, probably took you to where you are today. So let's start with what inspired you to venture to this career path where you are today? And of course, your peaks and valleys and along your journey. And tell us how you respond to all of these challenges that we know you of today.
It's funny because you call me young man. I don't know if I'm as young as you may think I am. I'm 43 years old. So I have been doing this for quite a while. I don't know. Look, I was always kind of the star of class plays ever since I was like six. But really, like it was really like a hobby, and I'd done it for a long time. But I went to the University of Toronto and studied economics. But I was just really unhappy. But then I was cast in a couple plays when I was in university, and I noticed I would skip an entire day of calculus and accounting. And I, you know, I would show up 10 minutes early for the plays. And I realized, oh, like I actually want to be here. Like I love performing. And then I transferred to theater school, and sort of the rest is history. Yeah, that was 1997, I think. That's when.
Wow. That was a couple of decades ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like before Y2K. Kids.
Yeah.
But it was a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you are in Toronto, in Canada.
Toronto, although I'm now also represented in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of going back and forth. Like I'm shooting projects up in Canada, but I've hired an immigration lawyer, and I have projects being set up in Los Angeles, and I'm just kind of going back and forth. You know, as the sort of shooting schedule allows.
Would love to meet you in person. I'm in Los Angeles and Hollywood is just my backyard.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, for sure. When I come down, I may come in late September, but we'll see. Like I'm juggling quite a few things right now. So.
Yeah. It's just get Uber. Traffic is hell over here. Get Uber.
Oh, so Uber's even better than having a car?
Well, not unless you want to stuck in traffic. I mean, Hollywood traffic, 170. 5 and 405 freeway and 170. I'm believe me, I know this. Wow. I know the traffic and the headache. But yeah, I mean, if you want to rent a car, that's fine.
I don't know. I keep hearing Uber's a good way to get around in LA.
Yep.
I've heard that times.
Yeah, Uber it is. I want to just read to the audience, to the listeners, your most recently, if this is still is, I grabbed this from your LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Bobby's feature debut is a writer director, The Market. Is that right? The Market.
Yeah.
I received international distribution from, was it Parallel International Distribution, Parallel Universe Pictures, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
And it is currently available on Amazon Prime in the US and also the UK, and Vimeo on demand for Canada. Right. And that's he is best known as creator and showrunner for IRL, the series. It is sold to Bell Media's Five TV One. The series had won best web series from the Los Angeles Film Awards. Congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
Was an official selection of the Sicily. Wow. Web Fest in Italy. So, Bobby Del Rio was also profiled in CBC's micro-series project, Heartbreak to Art, for the way IRL was created, directed by Drake's music video superstar director. Is it Karina Evans? Is that correct?
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about that, about some of your accolades, achievements. Wow.
I mean, I've had a pretty good career over 20 years. So Karina, she was directing this sort of like micro series for CBC, and she'd been following my web series. I created this web series, which was very popular in Canada. And the opportunity came for her to profile different artists. And so we met, and we just really got along. She liked my story. So she did this sort of like 1 minute documentary about me. I've been sort of bullied a lot, like in the entertainment industry. yeah, and that was like CBC is like, you know, one of the biggest media organizations in Canada, so we got a lot of attention for that. And you know, and then actually it ended up dropping to promote a play that I had written and was starring in called Professionally Ethnic, and that was a big hit. And like, I just, you know, I've been blessed to have a lot of publicity and working opportunities in my career. So
who has been your biggest supporter or mentor or even role model throughout your journey over the course of your career?
Well, look, I guess I'd have to shout out Tanya Lee Williams, who was on Young and the Restless for over 20 years. She hired me. So she runs a film festival in Toronto called the Real World Film Festival. It's devoted to multicultural. Yeah, so it's like the most prominent multicultural film festival in Canada. So she hired me to be the Canadian feature film programmer for 5 years, which meant like it was my job to select all the Canadian feature films. And I really put a lot of local programming together. And it gave me like major connections across Canada in the film and television industry. Mm-hmm. I have to thank Tanya for that, because without her, that never would have happened. And I didn't even know what it was. I remember she emailed me and she was like, "Hey, would you like to be a programmer?" And I was like, "Yes.
Anything." What's that?
Yeah. I didn't even know what it was. I was like, "I'll do it. What is it?" So yeah.
But worry later. It's an opportunity.
Yeah. It ended up being an amazing opportunity, to be honest. Like the number of relationships and projects that came out of that 5-year period. I mean, it's life changing.
Great. So
kids, you don't know what you're going to get.
Exactly. You never know who you're going to meet and what falling into that opportunity. So grab the opportunity while you can and worry about later, and you can fix, you know, the how to and everything. I want to ask you this. Okay. Single bachelor you are, right? As a single bachelor entrepreneur in the film industry.
Right.
What do you say the biggest challenge that you faced throughout those years or still is? And how are you responding to the dating scene? I know you have a girlfriend right now, I believe.
Yeah. So I don't want to necessarily talk about my personal relationship.
No, that's okay.
But what I will say is, you know, I've been single for a lot of my career, and to be honest, like, it's tough. You have to be careful because, especially now, right? Like I get a lot of attention. I've been interviewed 40 times in the last 3 months, right? Almost 400 times in my career, right? Like a lot. And so sometimes some women will target me for the attention because they want attention. So if they date me, then they can get attention. So that's the thing, is that sometimes you don't know, right? Like, does she like me for me? Does she like me because I can do things for her? So generally, I try to date outside the industry.
Smart.
Yeah, because then, you know, but even then, it's not always foolproof. But for the most part, people who aren't in the industry aren't as interested in trying to get famous, basically.
I think that's a fair statement. I mean, we see a lot of Hollywood couples out there, right? I mean, they try hard, and I think that's very smart. Not going into personal details and everything like that, and just, you know, in a general statement. We see a lot of Hollywood couples are really trying hard. I mean, some of the celebrities out there.
Oh, yeah. And like, honestly, like, they're, like, a lot of women hit me up on Clubhouse at the beginning when I was single. And there was, you know, like, you could kind of tell, right? Like, they're really asking about my publicity and talking about, oh, like just the things that aren't really about me. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you're kind of talking at me as opposed to me. So
yeah,
it was pretty clear that, no, obviously not all, but some women were kind of looking at me like a way to take them to the next level.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can imagine that, Bobby. I mean, you know, you're just, so here's the next question. Let's move on with the question next. That was pretty hot. I want to hear your perspective as far as, promoting brand and yourself, right? We're still in this mode right now on social media, including the social audio. What is the biggest challenge, you say? Challenge, and how are you overcoming some of the negative comments that perhaps, I mean, not just from the female perspective, community, but I'm just on overall. Tell us, how is this, you know, the negative comments perhaps if this mental health intersect somehow with the film industry community, if you get to my point here.
Yeah, very well. You're good. These are like real questions. Jeez, I'm gonna start crying again. Okay, here's what I'll say. I have a history of being bullied, right? Online, because of the attention I've gotten in the industry. People are vicious. It's the worst it's ever been is right now. And, you know, I'm one of the most popular people on Clubhouse. And because of that, like, I get abused every day, right? Like, I get abused. Sometimes it's minor. Sometimes it's major. Sometimes it's very public. Sometimes it's private. I don't know. I guess part of the reason that I had a big cry today is I had some really just mean people in the last 2 weeks say a lot of really negative things to me on purpose.
Okay.
So after a while, like, it really just, it gets to you. But for the most part, I think I'm okay dealing with it just because it happens every day. So, and, you know, like, Grant Cardone, do you know Grant?
Of course.
So actually when I hit 20K, I did it in my friend Todd Skelton's room, and Grant Cardone was on the panel. He was the first guy who back-channeled me to say congratulations, which was really nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I really like Grant. I don't know him so well, but from Clubhouse, I don't know. He's always been really kind
he's
to me.
He's always there. Yeah, he comes in and out of the room.
But he's a good guy. Like he, I don't know. He's very respectful. But anyway, so he posted on his Instagram this morning about haters.
Yeah.
How basically, like, no one who's more successful than him has ever been a hater, right? So I think it's just, this is just part of it. You can't really succeed unless there's people who, I guess, are unhappy that you're successful. Mm. It hurts me because, like, all my rooms are about elevating other people, supporting women, supporting people of color, supporting LGBTQ+. Like, I'm a community guy. Like, I'm not in it for me. Like, I do get a lot of individual opportunities, but I'm amplifying other people all the time. Mm-hmm. So for me to get attacked for that does not feel good. But at the end of the day, it's not really about me. It's kind of about them, right? They're just kind of hurt or angry or whatever's going on with them. So I try not to take it personally, but it definitely hurts after a while, for sure.
Yeah. I appreciate your respond to that, because I want to say it out loud. It comes with the territory, your success. And, sure. You know, by the way, congratulations on your latest reach of 20,000 followers on Clubhouse. That's a milestone for you. And I think, you know, I commend you, I applaud you for that, because it takes a lot out of a person. And mental immunity is the vein of emotional resilience. And you said it well. You come on there, you become, you know, the supporter for everybody in the Clubhouse, and then it's all about them. And then some haters will be haters, I think, right? And Grant Cardone has few, I think you said. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just, you know, I've actually asked Grant Cardone about it on Clubhouse, right? Because he's pretty open about haters, and I've had a lot of experience with it. But to be honest, it made me feel better, because he was just very honest that, like, yeah, like, it's just that it's actually hard for him too. So even though he's like me, like, even I think today I think I was inspired by him, and I kind of, I don't know, like, I was going to the gym and I wrote this Instagram post about I'm unstoppable, or, you know, that kind of thing. But the reality is it does hurt, right? And but
yeah.
Grant was really open about that as well. And so I guess that also makes it easier for me to be open about it, because I think the more of us that talk about it, maybe you start to realize, like, you know, some of us, we get a lot of attention, but we're still human beings, you know?
With emotions, of course. Yeah. And then we got to have to be mindful and respectful with each other, no matter what. But haters will be haters. And I think Grant also posted that, you know, there's not a single hater that wants to trade a place with me or something like that, he said.
Right.
And very true.
Yeah.
It is very true. It is what happens when we also talking about this emotional resilience, that when we condition our minds to not only expect fearful thoughts and, you know, sadness and everything. I mean, everybody has emotions, right? But to tolerate as they occur, when they occur, right? And this is all part of the, I want to say, part of the building blocks. And I don't want to get into the details on this, but you know, just recognizing this, it is part of the journey, right? Oh, it's just part of the journey of success, Bobby.
I know.
It is. It comes with the territory, my dear.
It's funny because I keep hearing this. I've literally probably had 700 people tell me this. So I know it. It's not that I don't know it. I still don't know it in my heart. Like, I know it in my head, not in my heart, because it's like part of me still wants to believe that being a good person will kind of like, I don't know, like triumph over, I don't know, whatever it is, jealousy or whatever it is. But the reality is, you know, like people were sort of like animals, you know, and you kind of don't want one animal to get more food than the other animal or whatever it is. I don't know. I don't care so much. I mean, I want to be successful in my life and my career, but I don't know. Like, I'm building communities. Like, I like to make friends with people. Like, I like to work with other people. Like, that's what I'm about. I'm a community builder.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the reality is I am the leader for the communities that I build. So I'm going to get that attention. And there's a lot of people who just, they want the attention. And so you can't really escape the attacks because you have something they want.
And you have 20,000 people behind you to support you. You know, 20,000 of us, and including myself, I'm here to support. And, you know, I mean, you have empowered so many different people, so many people around the world. Think about that. You know, you got to have to look back and say, oh my gosh, look what I've done already in the clubhouse. How many months have you been in the clubhouse?
6 months.
6 months. So that's a great achievement, you know, and then you're still continuing building and building and empowering people around the world, right?
Yeah, so, I'm trying. Funny, because I hit 20,000. I was talking about it today, how I used to do this thing every time when I was like at 15.1, I would circle it, post it on IG as a story, 15.2. It was just kind of like a fun game for me. But now that I've hit 20,000, I'm going to stop doing it. Just because I'm like, okay, 20,000 is a lot, right?
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's not that I don't want to like keep tracking them, like it's fun or whatever, but I'm not going to post that anymore. And actually what I think I'm going to do, you know, I like followers, it helps me, but I think what I'm going to do is start supporting smaller rooms. I did that yesterday. There's this guy, Daniel Mendoza. He runs this, it's called like Film Geek Chats or something. There's usually like 15 people in the room, 20 people, but I was like, you know what? This guy's really smart. He's nice. Like, people like it. I went to his room. I promoted him on Instagram. He appreciated it. Like, I think what I want to do is just use my clout or whatever, my profile, to help the smaller people, because I can just amplify myself more, but I'm already like one of the top people on the app. So I guess for me, like, well, if I can use that to bring attention to the people who I feel really deserve it, that is going to make me feel better. And I realized that today, like, it can't be about me. Not that it really was, but I think I have to double down on helping other people. That's when I feel good about myself.
I love that. You live your life completely grounded with your truth and your purpose, the purpose really in your life, and you continue doing so. And that speaks volume about you, about yourself, right? And I really appreciate that, by the way. I think it's sexier, by the way. you know what I mean? I mean, really, think about it. You know, you hang out.
I have no idea. Is it sexy?
Yeah, let's put it out there.
All right. Why is it sexy? Let's have this conversation. I'm curious.
People use that word lately, you know? I mean, when they say, oh, Nikki, you have a room, and I think sustainability is so sexy. What is it about? And I go like, sexy? Caught me off guard when they say that. So I think we should start using that. But, you know, I want to ask you another question, a couple other questions. How are you doing so far?
Good.
Are you having fun?
Yeah.
The question is,
I'm just trying to, you know.
I'm sorry?
I hope I'm not a boring guest. I'm just trying to answer
questions. No. There's a lot of questions. There's 2-3 more left. You know, as we already know, leadership is so important now, increasingly ever significant. you know, being the right role model and things like that, right, to the next generation. What are your personal advices to young and next generation out there in regards to journey to success? With all of this going on, or simply just following passion to become, you know, the purpose in your life, things like that?
These are good questions. These are very, very good questions. So, okay. You know, at the beginning of Clubhouse, I probably would have said something about go for your dreams. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. And then I got an agent in Hollywood a month into my experience at Clubhouse. And now I've been interviewed 40 times. And now I have all these projects around the world. All these amazing things have happened. But I guess what I would tell the next generation is it's good to have individual successes and you should strive for individual successes, but do not forget to give back, because the most important thing, in my opinion, giving back to others. And I think there's too many people who take and not enough give. And you know what? It's a lot harder to give. It's a lot harder to give when you get punished for giving, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that if we stop caring about each other, there's nothing left. Mm-hmm. If we're in this competition to like beat other people or make more money or look at me, not look at them, mm-hmm. we're not alive anymore. You know, like what I say in my film rooms is we are not an industry. We are a community. Okay. Different. It's different. And so what I would tell the next generation is it's not weak to love. You know, and I think that if you're willing to care about other people and you realize that we all have a responsibility to help the other people on the planet, life's better for everyone.
Oh, God, that landed so well with me. Landed so well. I really like that a lot. You just landed. This is so cool. You said something about we're not. Go ahead.
I'm just answering questions. That's all.
We're not an industry, but we are a community.
Yeah.
I love that a lot. I love that a lot. And this is why I, you know, I'm so glad that I had met you here in the community of Clubhouse app, you know, in the last few months. I've seen you in different rooms and I, you know, try to connect with you and things like that. And I'm so glad that I am able to up and close now with you to have the opportunity to speak with you and then just interview you with some questions like this one. Hopefully it's okay, right?
Well, great questions. You know, like I really appreciate you taking an interest and you really like did your research. Like these are real questions. I was like,
because I know you're a busy young man and you know, and just like I said, and you got like 40 interviews in the month or so or something like that. And I'm like, oh gosh, I got to get him right here. So when I saw you in your room today and I said, let me grab him for like today. I love spontaneous, by the way. I mean, I think, you know, we know that when there's an opportunity, grab it.
Yeah, that's the best way is like, I'm here now. Like, let's do it now because my schedule is so crazy. I'm shooting another project and like there's all my life is like nonstop. So I'm like, if the time is now, let's do it now.
Yeah, let's do it now. So I have a couple other last questions, but this one last question. It's not a tricky question, Bobby.
Uh-oh. Okay.
It's not a tricky question, but something that I want to ask you. I've seen you on social media and things like that. And I think you are a great role model to some people, to a lot of people, right? And loved by many. I know that for sure. 20,000 of you, of us here. Question, if you were to leave this world tomorrow, what message would you tell yourself and why?
I don't know, it's going to maybe be a bit sad, you know, but I think I would say like, you could have done more, you know, like, I don't know if it's like that, the Liam Neeson from Schindler's List thing, but it's funny. Like I have amplified a lot of people and support a lot of communities. Today was beautiful. My Italians in the Hollywood room, I didn't expect this. Really beautiful things were said to me. And also beautiful friendships were made. in that room, which was very special to me. But, you know, there's a thing that happens when you realize that you can actually impact people's lives in a positive way, where you go, man, like, what if I started earlier? You know, like, what if I worked harder to do that? Like, you know, like, sometimes I feel guilty that I get consumed by my own ambitions, and, you know, like, I want followers and opportunities, and there's nothing wrong with having individual ambitions as well, but I just feel like I'm in such a strong position to help others. Like, how do I not do that more? You know? So I guess for me, it's really realizing, man, for everybody you help, there's so many more people who need help.
You lead by example, Bobby. And I really, truly appreciate your just vulnerability and your, you know, kindness and candidness of just replying, responding to these questions. And I think authenticity, that's why I can resonate and relate with you. And I really appreciate that. Really appreciate that. It takes such immense courage and just to break and set free. I know we all want the same thing in life, right? We want freedom. And the ambition that you mentioned, nothing wrong with that. That's just the way we are designed, right? And if you are in a business world, that is what you have to have, a personal mission statement, and also business mission statement, and you cross path and there you have it. But more importantly, though, what you just said, I mean, if you're in the position of to giving back and to make impacts for others and to make a better world for other people, I mean, that really struck a lot of chords with me. And I really appreciate that. It is personal, up and raw, guys. This is Bobby Del Rio. I really appreciate you. Is there anything else you want to share with us? I know he's sharing his truth right now, which has brought him to his happiness, peace, and abundance of wisdom and inspiration. I know that he said that he has bad days. That's normal. All of us do, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if I had any, I don't know, sort of closing thoughts. Look, I get a lot of people who, I guess, kind of look up to me, which, to be honest, surprises me. But, you know, I get a lot of attention, so I guess that makes sense. I guess what I would say, though, is I'm not better than anyone. You know, I'm just a normal guy, to be honest. I mean, I've been in the film industry for a long time, and you know I get a lot of attention, but I am really surprised by it, to be honest. Even though I'm kind of used to it, but it's also a surprise. Like, I kind of just feel like I'm doing the right thing, you know. And I don't think I'm better than anyone, and I think the more that we kind of just do the right thing.
Yes.
I think it's simple, you know? I think sometimes we human beings make life so difficult, and it's not that difficult. It's like, just do the right thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, being humble and staying humble as you are, and just, you know, down to earth as yourself. I mean, that's what attract a lot of people, a lot of myself even, you know. We've seen a lot of celebrities, you know, don't mention any names or anything like that, in a higher caliber, might not remember where they come from, you know what I mean? And right. I think with you, I don't see any problem that you always remember. And then take everybody along with you as you grow, climb more and more higher mountain as you climb, Bobby. And I really appreciate you for just sharing your thoughts and insight and everything else. If I may offer information or refer you to others, you don't need that, or simply just want to collab with you, how can we reach you? I know you're on Clubhouse, and you have a very strong tribe community there. Sure. You know, where else are you? You're on social, every social media, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, on Instagram, I'm at Bobby Del Rio. That's a pretty good way to track me. I'm on Twitter at @bobman. I will say, at this point in my career, I have a lot of people wanting to collaborate with me. So it's pretty much, I kind of have to know people. Also, I have agents in Hollywood as well as Toronto, Canada. So it's really just a negotiation. But it becomes difficult because there's a lot of people that I really like, But also I'm at a certain point in my career, like where I get hundreds of DMs every single week. And obviously I was responding to everybody, but now it's like, there's too many.
Yeah.
So I'm doing my best, but generally when I collaborate, it's people that I have a relationship with, someone that I already know, but the rooms are probably the best way to interact with me. I do 6 rooms, and anybody can come up and talk, ask a question or something. And then I get to know a lot of people there. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that social audio very much, because it's not just leveraging the voice, but also, you know, the connection, and people can have a direct reach with anybody, really, the host of the room. And I want to ask a couple of questions. I'm hearing about your Saturday room. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Men supporting women?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that there's a need for men to stand up for women, because there's a lot of women sort of standing up for women, women's groups, women's rights. But I feel like men are a big part of it, right? So mm-hmm. like women are not going to be able to make more progress unless men help support that journey, because it's still a patriarchy, right? Like sometimes I refer to myself as not only a feminist, but I'm like a militant feminist. So patriarchy is very real. And I think that we have to understand that our women are our queens. We have to love our women. We have to support them. You know, what's funny is that I actually got all this criticism, you know, a couple weeks ago for like openly loving my girlfriend. And I was just like, all these guys were like DMing me and like, just calling me the most disgusting things in public. And I was just like, when was it a crime to like love people? You know, mm-hmm. I just did that. And I think this is part of the problem, you know, like I think that as men, we have to recognize what we're doing to contribute to toxicity, and to be active participants in changing it. And we have to understand that when our women succeed, we succeed, right?
Absolutely.
So that room is really about that, right? It's really just helping women to sort of do what I feel like they should rightfully be doing anyway, which quite frankly is to lead. I think women make better leaders than men. And so anything I can do to help women lead, I'll do.
You know, guys, if you are listening to this, you know why I love Bobby Del Rio, because he's got that side of him also to support women community. So there you have it. He's a well-rounded, he's not just actor, writer, filmmaker, and producer. He's all Hollywood, but also he takes care of his women and right in the community.
I try.
He's so humble. I hear another room on Saturday about how to convert or making your books into a movie or something like that. Oh,
yeah. Kat and Kel's rooms. Could Your Life Be a Movie? Yeah, I'm a moderator there. It's Kat and Kel's room. I'm there all the time. I actually created a writer's development program based on winners. So every so often, maybe a couple few weeks, people win prizes, and the prizes I help mentor them. So I already have two women who are amazing. And I'm starting a whole program based on prize winners from that event, from Kat and Kel's Saturday night group. And the goal is to really help mentor a whole group, and then the group can support each other. And again, it's just like what I do, right? It's like I'm just creating communities to help each other. But it's definitely coming out of that room, because I realized, man, there's a lot of like super talented artists who don't even know how talented they are. And so I felt like, well, if I can help contribute to their journey in a sort of more professional setting, even if it's at least in like a sort of advisory capacity, then I'm going to do that.
Any opportunity basically to open up so they can. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of people I think who need guidance, which yes. makes sense. You don't have professional experience. Like how are you going to know where you're supposed to go, or it's even possible, where I've have quite a lot of, you know, success and accomplishments in the industry. So I'm pretty familiar with many, many different ways to succeed. So if I can help push people along, I'll do it.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Because I know a lot of these rooms, and especially the ones that I just heard what you're moderating in. I mean, you know, this sort of rooms can be charging money, right? For those kind of,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, bottom line, right? I mean,
yeah. I don't want to attack other people. And I don't attack people publicly. I don't criticize people publicly. I never say names in a negative way, but I just think we can do better. Instead of taking from people, I think we should be giving to them.
I like that a lot. I mean, this is so in alignment what you said, and very consistent to what you have been saying throughout the interview here with me. And yeah. I really appreciate your really just everything that you said here, present to us and share with us, Bobby. One last thing. Is there any exciting projects that you would like to share? I know a lot of them are still going to be behind the background, all behind the scenes, and you probably cannot share with us. But is there anything, books or anything like that you want to share with us?
Okay, I'll share one. My friend Kat Hostick, she's created a web series called Polly is the New Monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
So I play her best friend. I'm in every episode. We're shooting right now in Toronto, Canada. I think she's absolutely hilarious. The scripts are amazing. Production's been going really well. I've shot 3 episodes already. I have, I think, 2 or 3 more. I think it's going to be a hit, and I can't wait for people to see it.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. So yeah. When is it going to be out?
I don't know. We're shooting now. I think it's going to be done maybe mid-September. And then, you know, they have to edit and promote. So I'm just an actor. I mean, I'm, you know, the male lead in the show. So I do have a big part in the show. But ultimately, you know, it's kind of up to Kat and what she wants to do with her production team. But I would imagine early 2022, you'll see it.
2022, yeah. After the edits and stuff.
Yeah, but again, you don't know. I mean, maybe she gets a TV deal, you know, anything is possible. One thing I know about this industry is you never know where things are going to go. But I will say, you know, we're probably about halfway through the shoot. It's been really, really well done. It's hilarious. It's very professionally shot. The actors are amazing. We're all like friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a hit for sure. So.
One last thing, just coming from out of my personal thing, because I do have quite a few people who are in the film industry, and I haven't spoken with them lately, but coming from you, how is it doing right now as far as the industry? Is it coming along with global disruption? Is it slowly, or is it more in a rapid, or is it just kind of like settle?
So I do a room on Sundays called International Film Financing, talking to some of the top producers in the world every week for months and months and months and months. So I'm pretty good at knowing what's happening, right?
Okay.
So my sense is, first of all, it depends on the country, right? It depends on the region. It depends.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of start and stop. I don't think we're going to have consistency until Corona's over. So what's also happened is that because of COVID, most budgets are up about 15 to 20%. Now, sometimes it's a bit less, sometimes it's a bit more, depends on the budget. But there's so much money being spent because of extra insurance costs, extra travel costs, people getting sick, tests, all these different COVID protocols, that it really is interrupting the industry. There's some countries and some states and provinces that are incredibly busy, and there's some that are at a complete standstill. You know, there's celebrities who get COVID and then the project is gone. There's actors who get COVID and they get recast. I just heard there was a big director who got COVID and lost the opportunity to direct their own movie. It's just going to be like this until COVID is done. So the industry is always going to be there. And I think the pandemic has proven people want to tell stories. Mm-hmm. For me as a producer, I'm waiting until it's all done. It's too expensive. It's too uncertain. And I think you're still putting people's lives at risk. So until Corona is sort of in the past, I think it's just going to be very uncertain. We can do the best we can, but the film and television industry will definitely be inconsistent until that happens.
Oh, I am so glad to hear that. I really am. There's hope. There's very, you know, optimistic to hear in the film industry. But yeah, you're looking at the lens from the international community, and that's, you know, this is one of the dynamics, the powerful of being in the social audio, right? That you can connect with everybody else. Yeah, this is so cool. I mean, who knew that we could be doing this, right? 18 months ago.
You're in Los Angeles. I'm in Toronto, Canada. Here it is.
Yeah, I always thought that you're in Los Angeles for some reason, you know?
Well, it's because I have such a large network there, right? So I have a lot of projects in Los Angeles. But no, I've never even been to Los Angeles. I have an agent in Los Angeles, but I've never met him in person.
Well, my husband used to work at Paramount Pictures. So we hang out. We used to hang out for lunch and everything like that. They're at the lot, studio lot. And I always go to Dr. Phil's studios and everything, get all those VIP tickets and invitations. But used to really hang out at Larchmont area there in Hollywood, Melrose. So yeah, I'm familiar with the studios out here with the Warner Brothers as well. So yeah, any closing statement? I love this. I know we're running out of time because we are having way too much fun right now.
Right. Yeah, look, you know, I'll be very simple. I just think people like be good to each other, you know, like people are struggling. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, look, I'm getting attacks. There's a lot of volatility happening. I mean, I cried for 2 hours on Clubhouse today, but I just think it's like, everyone's still going through hell. So I just think that we need to raise our moral standards and remember that when people behave a bit badly, maybe we can give them a bit of a break when we can, because it's hard, man. It's hard out there right now for a lot of people. So you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. I choose to be part of the solution.
I like that a lot, but I think you hit it right there. You know, I mean, a lot, it could not, you know, it doesn't have to be, it may not be you. It usually isn't. It's them, you know, maybe they're having some problems, but again, I mean, it's just insecurities and things like that. And, you know, we all have to be mindful about all of that. A lot of people are struggling right now, emotionally, financially, and things like that. But it is about self-awareness, self-love. And I think we just need to be mindful and, you know, practice the empathy. And that comes in our personal zone, obviously, right? And you as a leader, Bobby Del Rio, you're doing a great job. Let me tell you that. You're doing a great job as a leader in the community that you have held this role in the community and Clubhouse. And then some, I'm hearing this. So I'm really, really thankful that you had the time to come in and share with us. Super grateful to have you here, by the way. And I'd like to invite
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, I'd like to invite you back when you're not so busy, and hopefully after, you know, the show that you had produced, perhaps in spring 2022 or maybe even sooner, something like that.
Yeah, but, let me know. Have a good time. I'm around.
Yeah, hopefully that you come to LA and then we can take some selfies and then.
I'm definitely coming. My agent's there. It's just a question of paperwork and timing, and plus the COVID cases are going up in LA, so I don't know. Now is the smartest time. I'm just trying, like, it's like so much uncertainty, but I'm definitely coming. So
that's good. I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you, Bobby, for coming in and sharing your inspiring story and a lot of messages there that land so well, which hope to resonate to many. And for our listeners, if you enjoy listening to this, please do post and share this podcast to others. Share it, like it, tweet it, Facebook it, whatever you guys do, all that fancy stuff. I'm so old for that shit. But yeah, get the word out there. It feeds your soul and feed the souls of your friends and others around you. I am so humbled to have my exclusive guest today, Bobby Del Rio, producer, actor. And Bobby, you're just all Hollywood. And I cannot wait to meet you in person and hopefully that we stay in touch. I am Nikki Dare, your host. Please stay safe and stay vigilant until our next episode on Dare Radio. Dare to live, love, lead fearlessly, guys. God bless. All right, Bobby, much love.
Thank you.
That's it?
Yeah!
Okay, I really appreciate you so much. I'll let you go back to your girlfriend. I'll let you go back to your life. Thank you so very much for joining me here, Nikki Dare.
Okay, take care.
Take care. Much love. Bye-bye now.
Don't forget to check out some of my books. on Amazon. Just type in Google Nikki Dare, my name. I'm currently writing and finishing up some more books. Yes, I am. Until then, selamat malam, everyone. Buenas noches. Love you guys. God bless. Bye.
You have been listening to Nikki Dare's Radio, a podcast of sustainability with your host, Ms. Nikki Dare. Nikki Dare's life has been spent passionately in helping others going through transformation, both personal and professional. To learn more, please visit Ms. Dare's websites, education.nikkidare.com. Workshops on safety preparedness, situational awareness are available. Also available, the Transformational Coaching Series. For corporate and private group pricing, please contact us. Please visit her website, nikkidare.com. All of her broadcasts are available for free download on iTunes podcast, Nikki Dare. For more details on opportunities for sponsorships and speaking engagements, please email us at education@nikkidare.com. Join her next time, Living in Purpose and Passion. Our mission is to live a sustainable life with your host, Nikki Dare.